Again, it is good to have you. Hopefully your new year is going well so far. It's been 6 days. Not too much could go wrong, I guess, 6 days. So we are glad you're here. And as I think about New Year's, many people obviously will make New Year's resolutions. I don't. I make goals. Sometimes I make them, sometimes I don't. I guess they're kind of the same thing. But I thought, you know, in researching today's message, I would look, you know, see what the most common resolutions are. And I thought maybe someone will surprise me, but no, I think for the past 100 years, it's the same resolutions every year. And nothing much changes, but number one by far with 50% of resolutions is something to do with physical health. It's either exercising or eating right or, you know, anything it does to take care of your body physically. None of it's fun. All right, but those are resolutions we try. Some people have resolutions to get more financially healthy, or maybe it's in their relationships or mental health. There's so many things we can focus on when we think about resolutions, ways that we want to get better today. But I think what we really want to focus on as Christians, what God wants from us, is to focus on being more spiritually healthy, to grow spiritually. That is not an option. It's a command. God desires that we grow spiritually. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we help move people toward maturity is this word called discipleship, all right? And discipleship is simply helping someone grow in their faith and become more like Jesus Christ. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. We have three focus priorities as a church. One of them is making disciples. And we'll talk about the other two over the next 2 weeks, but we're really focusing today on what does it mean to make disciples. So I want to take us to God's Word. We're going to go over to Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Most of us know this as the Great Commission, so it's not new to us, but this is going to be kind of our background text as we move through this and talk about what does it mean to make disciples. So this is Jesus talking toward the end of his life on earth, and before he goes back to heaven. And here's what he says: "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," not some, but all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So I'll stop right there. A couple things I want to point out in that scripture. One is, if you look at the Greek, there's only one command in those verses. That is, make disciples. That is the one command that is in that. Everything else falls under or is part of making disciples, but we are called to make disciples. Now, I think it's important when we think about that, that doesn't just mean that you help someone else grow in their faith, but you need to own your own discipleship. You need to own your own spiritual maturity and do what is necessary to let God work and grow through you to become more like him. The other thing I wanted to point out, though, is on that verse 20, it says, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Well, all I've commanded you is just a summation of everything God wants us to do. His word, we'll focus on God's word, the Bible. We need to focus on observing everything in that book. Now, observing does not mean you're looking at it only. Okay, we do use observe like that. We might say, "Hey, I observe this guy walking down the street." But that's not the type of observe we're using. This is the observe that if you participate in something, you're actually engaged in it. Like in a couple of weeks, we're gonna observe the Lord's Supper. That doesn't mean we're just going to watch it. No, that means we're going to actually be involved in it. We're going to be engaged in it. So we are responsible, all of us, to make disciples, not only of the people around us, but to make a better disciple of ourselves. And that really starts with obeying and observing what God's command says. Now, discipleship is key in church. That's why we have, you know, discipleship is not just sermons. It's not just life groups. It's not just other Bible studies that we have and next steps, discipleship. All those things are important. But really, again, what we're zeroing in on today, really at all three campuses, is really challenging everyone to get in the Word one-on-one with God this year more than they ever have. That's what we desire. And that goes for me, that goes for all of us, because we are responsible for our faith. Philippians 2:12, here's what Paul says. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." Doesn't say work for your salvation, okay? Salvation is a free gift of God. This says work out your salvation. That means do something with it. It should be developing. It should be growing. In fact, the Greek word for work out means to put into effect entirely, to go forward, to try to be as best you can, do everything God wants you to do to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. That primarily happens through God's word. And I'll tell you a truth. This is a true statement here, that you cannot really know somebody unless you spend time with them. And that's, you can't debate that. Lori and I have been married 24 years. 24 glorious years from her point of view. No, mine too. But we've been married 24 years. We've known each other 25. And we know each other better now today than we ever have. Doesn't mean we get it all right all the time. But a good example is a couple weeks ago at Christmas, I love buying gifts. Well, just for her. She takes care of the kids, thankfully. But I love buying gifts for her for Christmas. About a week and a half before Christmas, one of the gifts I bought, I got a notice that it wouldn't be until February. So I was going to nix that one. And then I thought, okay, what could I get her instead? I want to get her at least one more gift. I didn't have any ideas. I'd already looked at her list. And so I Googled, hey, what are the top 20 gifts for women in 2023? And I thought, hey, I'll scan that and see if something jumps out. So I pulled that up and I was scanning through it. And I looked and there was this one item. I thought, hey, she might really, really like that. I don't know. She's never asked for it. She's never said anything about it. But she does a lot of videoing for Instagram, blogging, etc. And so I thought, well, I'll get her this little device that you put your iPhone in when you're recording, and it follows you when you're moving around, okay, automatically. And so I thought, well, I'll give that to her, and it's pink, okay? So I couldn't go wrong there. She loves pink. So Christmas comes, she opens up the gift, and she is so excited because she got something that she didn't ask for, but she said, oh, I've been wanting to get one of these. I just never said anything about it. I said, what? I mean, how'd you know I wanted that? And I was like, well, you know. No. I said, I don't know. I saw it, and I know you love doing that. But the point is this. Because we've gotten to know each other so well, we often know what each other are thinking before we even say. You know, we know what each other like. We know what each other we dislike. And so I got to know her, but it's the same way with God. If we're going to get to know him, if we're going to grow to be more like Christ, we have to spend time in God's word. And so many of you got an outline this morning as you walked in. If you didn't, you can take notes on your phone or however you choose to do it. But we'll get to the outline in just a minute. But I want to just lay some groundwork on the Bible, on why we should read the Bible and why we should invest in it and engage in it. So real basic. Let's talk about what the Bible is. The Bible is God's revelation to us. He wanted us to know about him. But reverse of that, he wants us to know about him so we can, but we have to actively pursue that. He knows everything about us, and he wants us to learn and grow and know everything about him. And again, that only comes through his word. That's why he gave us the revelation of the Bible. And just on a real elementary level, just as a reminder, the Bible is 66 books written by 40 authors over 1,500 years. It has no discrepancies, no disagreements amongst itself. We believe as a church, and I believe, that the Bible is totally accurate. It has no errors. It has no inerrancies. It has nothing, okay, that is not true. Everything in it is true. And so if you want to get more into that, we're not going to get into the weeds on why we know the Bible is true, but we did do a sermon last May, May 7th exactly. We're all, at all three campuses. We did a sermon on why the Bible is core to our beliefs and why we believe it's true. So if you want to review that, you can. Again, that's May 7th, and you could look at that on the website. But we're going to move forward just assuming we all agree the Bible is true. Now, unfortunately, we live in a world that there's a lot of biblical illiteracy. Not a whole lot of people spend time in the Bible. Their source of intake on the Bible typically is listening to somebody else, which that's important, but it must go further than that. I read a poll this week that said only 9% of Americans read the Bible daily. That's not very good. It's basically 1 in 10 read it every day. But 60 to 65% of the people in the U.S. claim to be Christians, but we don't read the Bible. 6%, only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. You know where a biblical worldview comes from? It comes from knowing God's word and knowing what it says and seeing the world through the lenses of God, through the lenses of the Bible. So we need to make sure we understand how important it is that we're engaged in the Bible, we read it. It's important. It's the truth. Why should we read it? Because you cannot become a strong Christian. You can't accomplish God's purposes the way he wants you to unless you are in his word, unless you're engaged in his word. I read this from a famous pastor. He kind of summed it up. I like this, so I'm going to quote him. The purpose of the Bible is to help you live out the purpose God has for your life, to be thoroughly equipped that you will have all you need. You'll be fully prepared. You're ready to face life. You've got everything you need to take on life. And he says the way God gets you ready for life, the way God gets you ready for his purpose is through the Bible. It's spending time. There's no shortcuts in our faith. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us a little bit of what this Bible does. It says that all Scripture, not some of it, this is all Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, okay? All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In other words, what he's saying here is the Bible teaches you what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and then how to stay right. Okay, it's a great tool, and it says this is beneficial for that. But for what purpose? So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If you really want God to use you, and you want to be like Christ and have an impact on the world around you, you've got to be intaking, you've got to be into God's word. So we're challenging all of our church, again, across all three campuses. We want to encourage you and challenge you to get in the word like you never have before. One-on-one with God, okay? Keep doing the Bible studies and the other, all that's great, because those are key tools too. But we want you to own your spiritual growth. We want you to own it. So over the remainder of the message, I just want to talk a little bit about some important characteristics of reading the Bible, some things we need to think about. And you may be saying, well, I read the Bible every day. I got all this down. Okay, man, that's great. But maybe you'll pick up some extra nuggets or be reminded of some things of how important it is that we take in God's word. But if you do have your outline, you can look at this first point here. And the first point is this: trust God's word. Trust God's word. Because when we go into reading God's word, we want to go into it with the knowledge that we believe that this is truth. Not that we're going to see if we agree with it. No, we're going into it like we're going to agree with whatever it is. It is our ultimate source of authority. Now, there's four areas in our world, four things in our world that can get in the way or kind of interfere that sometimes we raise to a level of authority where it shouldn't be, all right? So let me give you four things to watch out for, and again, this is in your outline. The first one is this: culture. Culture. We don't make decisions and live our lives according to the culture. Exodus 23:2, the Bible says, "You shall not fall in with the many who do evil." Basically, don't follow the wrong crowd. You may not know this, I don't want to shock you, but just look in the U.S., the majority is not always in line with God's word. Is that shocking to you? All right? That's why we do not make decisions just because everybody else is doing it. No, our authority is God's word and God's word only. But then secondly, tradition. We don't make decisions, we don't lead our lives just because we've always done it that way. Or, you know, we've always done it that way, we're going to keep doing it that way. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition. I mean, we have a lot of Christmas traditions at our house that we love. But traditions are only fine if they fall under the authority of God's word. We don't want to do anything just because we've always done it. We want to make sure we're in line with God's word. I read a story this week about a husband and a wife. And the wife, every year at Thanksgiving, she would bake the turkey. Okay, and she would cut 2 inches off of each end of the turkey, which was a lot of meat wasted, and then she would bake it. And one day, her husband asked her, like, why do you cut off 2 inches off each end of the turkey? And she said, Well, that's the way mom always did it. Okay, I mean, I don't know. I said, because he said, well, why did your mom do it? I don't know. Well, let's ask her. So they go to the mom. Next time they saw her and said, hey, out of curiosity, why do you cut 2 inches off of the turkey on each end? Well, that's the way my mom taught me to do it. That's the way we've always done it. Okay, so we go to the grandma. All right, grandma, why did you raise us cutting the 2 inches off of each side of the turkey? Well, her answer was, well, back then the pan was too small. So we don't just do things to do it. We do it if it's in line with God's word, and if it falls in line with that, great. But the third thing we don't do, that we don't make decisions on our own, is reason. Meaning, we don't just, well, it seems right. I think it's right. I mean, I've always thought, you know, it seemed reasonable. It seems logical that we should do this. Now, this doesn't mean you should never use your brain, you know, no. But again, everything that we think, everything we decide intellectually should be in line with God's word. Proverbs 16:25 says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Okay? So don't solely rely on your intellect. But then the fourth thing that can get us in trouble when we're determining our source of authority in our life is our feelings. Okay? Feelings are great, but again, they shouldn't be our source of authority. Over in Judges 21 and 25, there was anarchy all over the world, okay? Because it says this in the scripture, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it, okay? If it feels okay, well, I guess it's okay. That's not in line with God's word. That is not how we make decisions. That's not how we do it. These are all unreliable sources of authority. The only reliable source of authority is God's word. We have to remember that. We serve him. We serve under his commands. All right, so let's do this. Let's look at what it means to get into God's word. Your next point there is grasp God's word. Grasp God's word, okay? And I'm using an acrostic because that's what I like to do. G-R-A-S-P, just to give you 5 principles to think about and maybe use as you're reading God's word. We just really want this to be really practical so you can grab onto this really, really easy. So grasping God's word, the G stands for get ready, okay? Get ready. And when we're talking about time with God, I want to just paint a picture. We're thinking about a daily quiet time with God where you spend time with him consistently, 10 or 15 minutes. Find a place where, you know, you can do it at the same time every day, where you're not distracted. That's part of getting ready. Have a place. I have struggled with this through the years because I get so distracted. I'm easily distracted. So, you know, if I'm trying to study God's word and watch a football game, it just doesn't work. All right? Maybe you can do it. I doubt it, but maybe you can do it. But here's the deal. Find a place where you can spend some time alone with God. That's what Jesus did. And he was God, okay? And he spent time with his Father. He'd often get away from all the hustle and bustle so he could spend time with God. So as part of getting ready is having a time and a place, but also it's praying before you read. I don't mean like sitting there and praying a 15-minute prayer, okay? I mean, you can if you want. But the idea is a simple prayer when you sit down with God's word. God, show me what you want me to show me today, and I'll be obedient and will follow you, whatever command or whatever guidance you give me. 15 seconds. Just pray that God will open your heart and speak to you in a special way. We see this over in Psalm 119, 4-6, where the psalmist says, the psalmist is talking to God. He says, you have commanded your precepts or your rules or guidelines. You've commanded them to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways might be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, or I shall not have any regrets, having my eyes fixed on your commandments. The psalmist is saying, hey, man, I want to obey everything you tell me. I want to be fully in line with God's word. Help me. Oh, that I may do that. Oh, that I may do that so I don't have any regrets. I want to do exactly what you're going to say. And that is the attitude that we should have as we go into reading God's word. That's the getting ready part. The R, shockingly, is read, okay? You have to read. I want to encourage you to read the Bible. It's one thing to have audio, and if that's your only option, man, that's great. But if you're at all able to, read God's word, okay? Immerse yourself in it because, again, the scripture I read a while ago out of 2 Timothy, All scripture is beneficial for telling you what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. Okay? All that can only prove true in your life if you're reading the scripture and you know what it says. Otherwise, you don't get the full benefit of the scripture if you're not really following and, you know, immersing yourself in God's word. I think the main reason a lot of people don't understand the Bible is they don't read it. Many people know more about what's on Netflix or Instagram or TikTok than they do what's in God's word. And so we have to be careful, because if you're saying the Bible is your sole authority but you're never in it, the odds are you're going to be driven by some of those other authorities that we just talked about that do not line up with the Bible. We want to make sure that we read it. Some people will say, well, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Well, have you ever read it cover to cover? It would be a good question. Because that's the challenge, is to immerse ourselves again in God's word. Now, I want to give you some things to think about. These are just side tips you might find helpful, but some guidelines when you read the Bible. I had a life-changing experience. It wasn't quite that dramatic. But when I was doing my doctoral work, here's one of the things I learned. I learned how to read doctorally. I never knew there was such a thing. But I loved it, because you get through with the books faster. They teach you how to scan through books, not books of the Bible, but scan through books, read them, get all the important points, where you know enough about that book, you could write a paper on it. But you finish it really quick. You're not reading every single word. Now, that's not what we want to do with the Bible, because with the Bible, every single word is the word of God. Every single word is important. Don't just scan. Don't just jump around looking for stuff. I encourage you to faithfully work your way through the Bible. And that leads us to our second thing. The context is vital. When you're reading, context is important, right? We can take all kinds of scriptures out of place. Philippians 4:13, okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, when I was growing up, I remember seeing athletes have that on their wristbands, their headbands, or whatever they were wearing. And I would think, well, if he can win this football game because Christ is strengthening him, what about get the guy on the other team that's wearing the same thing? I mean, how does that work? And so I'm not opposed to people wearing scriptures, but we have to understand the context of that. Paul was saying, hey, I'm going through some hardships. I've had some ups and downs, but God is going to give me all the power I need to accomplish what he wants me to accomplish. I'm not left out there by myself. And so context is very, very important. We also want to remember that there's some things in the Bible that we're not going to understand, okay? And we trust by faith that everything God wants us to understand, he'll show us the understanding he wants us to gain from that. Isaiah 55 tells us that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So there's some things we're just not going to comprehend with our finite minds. Also, lastly, on the reading part, read with humility. You know, go into reading the Bible with humility. That's important, because we want to read it focused on what God desires, not what I desire or what you desire. Don't go looking for the answer you want. Look for the answer that God wants to give you. So that's just some thoughts on reading. But then the A is this, okay? We get ready, we read God's word, but then we analyze. I know that sounds too academic, so don't overthink it. I decided to find something that started with an A to make the acrostic work, okay? Analyze. It really means to study and to meditate over something, and I'll explain what meditation here is in just a sec. But let me read from Psalm 1, 1 and 2. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight or his pleasure is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He meditates on it day and night. Well, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean, you know, what you might think of meditation, just, you know, humming. No, what it means in the Old Testament when they say the word meditate, it means to mutter or to mumble something over and over, you know, under your breath, like they're reading God's law. They would mumble it over and over and over, and it would kind of sink into their mind. It would start changing the way they thought about it, and they would get more understanding from it. I think that's key. Now, so if I was meditating on John 3:16, I'd be saying, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, that's not tongues. When I'm speaking in tongues, I'm mumbling the scripture, and I'm meditating over it. And that's important because That's what God wants us to do. It helps it sink in more when we just, we mutter and we mumble that over and over and over. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:7 tells us this. It says, think over what I say. Okay, think over means like reflect on what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Okay, we think over, we ponder whatever God's word says. And we seriously think about it. How does it apply to us? Not someone else. Remember, when you're reading God's word, don't look for what God has to tell somebody else. Focus on what he wants to tell you. And it's important. How many of you, because we're all good at meditation, you don't even know it, okay? How many of you ever worry about anything? Anybody worry? Okay, worry is negative meditation. Say, you've been meditating all these years and you don't even know it. Worry is just meditation on a negative thought. You think about it over and over and over. It affects you. It starts affecting you because you're meditating on that negative thought over and over and over. We want to flip that. We want you to meditate on God's word. When you're reading it and there's a verse or something that sticks out, meditate on that. Let that go over and over and over in your mind. And like worry, it will start changing the way you act. It will affect you in a positive way. So let me give you some things to think about when it comes to analyzing. First of all, I said, you know, say the verse aloud, kind of mumble it. If there's a verse that sticks out to you, ask questions, you know, to yourself, like, why would God say that? Maybe try to get some understanding. I encourage you to consider different translations, okay? We use the ESV primarily when we preach at Champion Forest, but there's other great translations that can be helpful in helping you see certain passages clearly and just looking at it from a different angle. They all say the same thing, if you're using a good translation. They all say the same thing, but it might shed some light on it if you try that. Also, look before and after the passage. You know, the Bible is not written in chapters. Those are just to help us find things quicker. I encourage you, whatever you read in your personal Bible time, that you start at the beginning of a book of the Bible and go through it. I think of 1 Corinthians 13. We all know what that is, or probably we mostly know. It's the love chapter. We hear it at weddings all the time. It's the love chapter, and it's a very important chapter. But what was happening in chapter 12 that makes chapter 13 so significant? Well, it's important to know that Paul was dealing with, have you ever heard of disgruntled church members? I mean, I've heard of them. And he was dealing, about different things going on. They were discussing spiritual gifts and all this. And so Paul addresses that. And then at the very last verse of chapter 12, he says, hey, now, let me show you a more excellent way to live. And then 13 starts. And that, it doesn't change chapter 13, the love chapter, but it gives you a better setup and understand, wow, that is the most excellent way to live, just like chapter 13 says. And so that's the danger of just pulling stuff out of nowhere. You know, when you flip and say, God, what do you want me to do? And you flip through the pages of the Bible and, you know, you try to find something that says you want. That's not what the goal is. Also look for timeless principles, okay? We could go into this forever, but just simply put, when you read a scripture, realize there's a context back then when it says Jesus often went to desolate places to pray. Does that mean we need to go pray in the desert? No, that doesn't mean we need to go pray in the desert. What it means is we need to pray and try to get away, have some space, like I talked about earlier, to spend time with him. Just look for those general principles that God wants us to have, to carry toward our current context. Okay, so we get ready, we read, we analyze, and then letter S, store, okay? We want to store God's word. We want to store it in our minds and in our hearts. Okay, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, like strongly be in you. But the key word there to me is dwell. That means be in your heart, be at home in you, and in every room of your heart. Now, I'll tell you this. My youngest daughter, Trina, she has a friend group of like 10 people, and they come over a lot. And we finally started telling them, when we know you're coming over, just walk in. Don't knock or ring the doorbell, okay? We're trying to be friendly. Plus, we don't want to keep getting up and answering the door. Y'all just come on in, and I say, make yourself at home, okay? But do I really mean that? I don't want them to go into the master closet and start going through my shirts or my drawers or anything like that. I'm basically saying you're welcome to make yourself partially at home. Okay? But when it comes to God's word, the full word of God needs to dwell in every area of our lives. It needs to affect every single thing that we do. It's essential. It's vital that we remember God's word and we get it in our heart. In fact, Psalm 119:11 says this, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." Okay? There's a link between having God's word in your heart and being better prepared to deal with sin and temptation when it comes your way. But here's the cool thing. It doesn't say, "Your word I've hidden in my head." It said, "In my heart." Well, what's the difference? Of course, when we memorize it, it's going to be in our head. But in the Old Testament, whenever it talked about heart, it talked about the heart represented where our choices are made, how we make choices and how we live our lives. So that's basically what it's saying here is, I've stored your word in my heart where it's going to affect the way that I live. It's going to change what I do. You know, the Bible is a life-changing book. And so when we store his word in our heart, it's going to change the way we live. We want to try to memorize some verses. You know, we have all kinds of things memorized. Movie lines, song lyrics. Some of you might remember sports statistics from 30 years ago. I don't know. And it shows us that we can memorize, we can intake this. One of the verses that's changed my life through the years that I memorized a long time ago is James 1:19. In summary, it says, "Be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen." Now, I often use that when I'm dealing in a difficult situation. Before I say anything, it's like, "I'm slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen." And God has really helped to change me by knowing that verse and reciting it and using it in my life. That's what God's word does. So find something you can, you know, verses that stick out, memorize them, write them down, man, journaling or writing out scriptures where God showed you something or it was impactful. I mean, write it down. It'll help you remember it. We want to store it so we can just grow stronger in our faith. So get ready, read, analyze, store, and the last one is P. That means practice. It means do what it says, okay? We don't just read it. How many people do you know that went to medical school for all those years and they graduated and they never saw a patient or taught anybody else? They never did anything with it. They just got a doc, you know, became an MD and did nothing with it, okay? They learned all this knowledge, but they're not practicing it. Tony Evans says this. He says, "The goal is not merely to impart knowledge. Taking notes and memorizing verses is good, but until a learner becomes or also obeys God's word, until a learner also obeys God's word, teaching has not produced a disciple." To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you actually have to do what God's word says. You have to live by it. Psalm 119, 1 and 3 says, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways." Look at the verbs there. Walk, keep, seek, do no wrong, walk. Those are actions. We're to actively participate and do what God's word says. James 1:22 says, we're to be hearers of the word and doers of the word. Okay? Not just hearers, but also doers. We're supposed to do what it says. So I want to encourage you this next year, as you grow and you invest more time in God's word, I want to just encourage you with every way I can to not give up. There might be some days you read something and you're not, you know, just nothing jumps out. That's okay. It's a cumulative effect of spending time with God every day. You not only become more like Jesus Christ if you follow what he does say, you also get to know him better. You get to know what's important to him, what he wants out of your life. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth," meaning this book of the law should never leave you. You should always have it in you. "But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all that is written. For then, when you obey God's word, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Okay? Success in God's eyes. You'll be fulfilling God's purpose in your life. And then he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As we go through this process and as you spend more time in God's word, there's going to be times you got to persevere. But God is with you through it all, just like he says in Joshua. And then that takes us all the way back to our first scripture, Matthew 28:20. The very last sentence of Matthew says this. After he gives them the Great Commission, he says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Basically what Joshua just said, I'm always with you wherever you go. And know that when you pour into God's word and you get to know him, he's going to honor that and he's going to walk through you. He wants to accomplish great things through you. So I want us to think about a few things here because there's a now what. And I just want to share with you a few things because there's several ways to be discipled. I'm glad you're here in the worship service. This is an important part of our discipleship process. But if you're not in a life group, we'd love to get you in a life group. We're starting a couple new groups in a couple weeks, but we have a lot of great existing groups. And therefore, you know, for Bible study, for building relationships, doing life together, you could text the word groups to 77069 and you'll get a prompt back, or you can go to the website on any of these. We have Right Now Media, which is a company that we've partnered with, and Champion Forest has made it possible for all of us to be on there for free if you choose to do it. You can find out how to log in by going to the website or texting Right Now to 77069. That is a great website. It's full of videos of devotions, Bible studies, things that could enhance your spiritual growth if you choose to use them. Our January devotion, our Bible reading plan starts tomorrow. If you haven't signed up for that, make sure you get on the website and do so, or you can text the word Devo, D-E-V-O, and that's not really a word, but text those four letters to 77069, and they'll show you how to get set up. But here's what's cool about that. If you're not currently reading the Bible every day, this will be a great way to start tomorrow. You're going to be reading a chapter of Acts every single day, and there'll be a devotion that goes along with it that's written by different staff or lay people from the three campuses. I encourage you to get signed up for that because I think it'll be really, really impactful. And if that's a new practice for you, you have 28 days to build that habit. And then when it's over, you can continue and choose another book, choose Psalms or whatever you want to do to continue your growth. We have articles on championforest.org that are written that may be of help to you in your spiritual growth. The Bible app has a lot of devotions and guidelines on there, some good translations. If you need discipling one-on-one, we have that option called Next Steps. You can text Next Steps to 77069. We'll set you up for a six-meeting version with another person that can disciple you and give you a good foundation if you're not real strong in your faith. All those are great. So I just wanted to throw all those out to you real quick. But this is the deal. The main focus today is we want you to take the steps you need just to get into God's word. You and God, and for me, it's a cup of coffee, okay? A cup of coffee is just essential for me. But I want to encourage you to spend more time ever this year than you ever have in his word. And if you need any help or you need more guidance on that, I know this has been flying through this pretty quick, but the goal is we want you to be more in God's word because it is life-changing. And it's part of us becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, we love you. I thank you for the truth of your holy word and how you teach us, how you guide us, how you correct us, how you show us how to stay on the path that you want us to be on. Father, I pray for everyone in this room that already has a relationship with you. They have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. The Holy Spirit is key. As a follower of Christ, it is key to have the Holy Spirit in us to help us, help the Bible just come to life and to speak to us. And I pray that all of us as believers will seek to become more and more like you. And the primary thing we need to focus on, I think, is just getting into your word. You know, all the other Bible studies, discipleship methods are awesome. But we want that one-on-one time with you. And help us to develop that habit. Even starting with the Bible reading plan tomorrow, maybe a great way to build that habit over the next 28 days. And I pray that we can keep it going. I pray that you'll show us all the fruits of our spending time with you. And Father, if there's anybody in this room who doesn't know you or they don't know if they have a personal relationship with you, I pray that you'll just speak to them clearly right now. Father, I just thank you that for anybody, it doesn't matter what our past is, where we failed, how we've fallen short of your glory, you can forgive and you want to restore us. You want to turn our lives around. And so anybody that's in this room, Father, that's just has not nailed down their decision for Christ, and they don't know, they're not sure, I pray that they'll come forward as we sing here in a moment and visit with one of our prayer partners. We'd love to get to know them and kind of walk them through the process. Man, what a better way to start the new year than by giving your life to Jesus Christ. So we pray you'll move in this time. And anybody else that's out there, if you need prayer, you need any counsel at all, come forward during the song to our prayer partners up front. They'll pray with you and help you and minister and love you every way that they can. We just want to pray that God receives all the glory for everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as Caleb and the team leads us.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.